Good morning, church. Well, welcome to church. If you are online joining us or here in the room, it's awesome to have you here. I just wanted to take one special second and look into the camera and say, if you're at home, we love you, but we have a special, I told somebody to give them a shout out. If you guys, if you have kids in the kids' church, you know Eric and Gina Tinsley. They lead one of the Sundays. Their daughter, Adeline, is actually getting out of the hospital as we speak. She had an issue with an appendix issue, and she's been in the hospital for 2 weeks. And, you know, it's aggravating because we can't get in there to see them and pray for them. And you have to do everything from a distance. And it's so cute because she would FaceTime us. So we would FaceTime and actually talk to her on FaceTime. And so I told her this morning, Adeline, I told you I'd do it. So I want to give you a special shout out. We're excited for you and glad you're coming home. God's healed her, made her whole, and she's on her way home. So why don't we give God a hand clap for that. Okay, y'all are going to have to be patient with me. I've been off for a few weeks. I got some nasty messages from some of you saying, why aren't you preaching? You know who you are. Let me tell you why. It's because when the pandemic started and we had to go online, that was scheduled about time I usually would take a couple weeks off and kind of refresh and start again in the spring. And Melanie and I just felt like it was important at that time that it be me on the camera, you know, just kind of loving on the family as a spiritual father. And so we went through all of that and went through the summer, and then starting with thank you to my 5 for 5 folks who did that a few weeks ago. That, by the way, has been our number one watched online broadcast so far this year. So you guys did great. And then I had Kenny and my dad, and last week Melanie, because I counted up and I was on my 32nd straight week, and I was tired. I was just at that limit. And talking with Kenny Large, who's my overseer, and Jake Holman, who's my other overseer, they both said, like, you can go to church, and we want you to stay in church, but you need to not teach for a couple weeks and take a break. So, and I really did. I was supposed to come back last week, and that prompted the conversation with Melanie that she told you about last week. She spoke on hope, and I encourage you, if you missed it, go back on and watch it, because we're going to kind of do 2 weekends, last weekend and this weekend, just talking about hope. And her teaching last week was a result of our conversation of just talking about life in our own lives and finding ourselves keep saying, well, I hope kids go back to school, all the parents said. Oh, come on, you parents. At home, maybe you're shouting, amen. You know, and I realize we all have to make different decisions. Some are going virtual, some are going back in the classroom, and you make those decisions as God leads you in the wisdom of God. But for me, in my house, we were thinking, let's go back to school. My girls love school, and they need to get out of the house. And so we were talking about this idea of hope. And when she said some things, saying, you know, I find myself saying, I hope that we meet back in person. I hope kids go back to school. You know, other people are saying, I hope we go back to work. I hope life goes back to normal. And that hope was always followed by disappointment and despair. So in this conversation, when she was telling me this, I said, you need to teach that Sunday. And so I took another week off and I let her teach it. And I think it was a great message. It was God kind of steering the ship as he's supposed to do. And so she talked about this misplaced hope, because we look at things and put our hope and our rescue, hope for rescue, in things that are going to fail us. No matter how solid we are, no matter how well trained you are, it's going to let you down if it's not that hope in God. She finished with this idea that God, who is the source of our hope, expects us to share that hope. It's not just given to us just to make us feel better. We need to do something with it. We need to share. So that's where I'm going to jump in today. So you can just, if you're mentally following along, and we like series and we do lots of series here, this is just going to be part 2 of what Melanie started last week. And here's why, because sharing our hope, and here's why it's such a big thing. It's because we need hope to get through life. We need hope to be looking through this pandemic thing, to be looking through maybe some of you are unemployed, maybe some of you are struggling financially because of this mess. We need hope to get through that. But the bigger issue is, and certainly we need that, but we need not lose sight of this thing, of this point. Hope is not just to get us through life here. Hope is not just to get us through this week or this month or through the big thing you're facing. Hope is, look what the Bible says here in 1 Corinthians 13:13. The Bible talks about three things that will last forever. Faith, hope, and love. And it says the greatest of these is love. So here's my continuation, my jumping point. Hope is not just for here, it's eternal. The Bible says, and you hear quote people, hope springs what? Eternal. It really is. See, hope doesn't end when we get to heaven. Hope doesn't end when Jesus comes back and we spend eternity with heaven. The Bible says that Jesus is, in bodily form, our hope. We literally rest in hope for the rest of eternity. That we're only here on this earth. Whether you're 5 years old, 50 years old, or, by the way, happy birthday, Miss Agnes Tebow. I don't know if Miss Agnes turned 100 yesterday. So whether you're 550 or like Miss Agnes, you just turned 100, then the bottom line is our time on earth is brief compared to eternity. See, the hope we have, the hope we can offer to people is not only just for here, it's for eternity. Look what Titus writes in the book of Titus. Because of his great grace, he declared us righteous and gave us, this version says confidence, the NIV says hope, that what? We're going to inherit eternal life. Our hope is in the fact that this is not the end. I know a lot of people who think, and they ask, I get a lot of questions, especially now, is this the end? Is Jesus coming back like next week? Is this pandemic the end? And my answer is, I don't know. But the Bible, here's a rabbit trail and here's my personal thought. Everything that needs to happen biblically for Jesus to come back, pretty much has happened. Is this the tribulation? I say no, and I'm not going to argue about this because some people want to argue this theology. I say no, because the Bible says it's appointed for man to experience the wrath of God one time. And the Bible says for us as Christians that Jesus paid the price for the wrath of God in our lives. So in my theology, hope has the ticket on the first bus out of here, where I'm out of here. When the trumpet blows and Jesus comes, I'm out. If y'all want to hang out and play the tribulation game, go for it. I'm out. And I believe that's what the Bible says. He's coming back for his church. He's coming back for those of us who believe that Jesus is who he says he is. And the Bible says the dead in Christ will rise, all those who have gone before us, and then we join them. I'm not going to argue the theology. If you want to argue that later, you can call me in the office and we'll have at it. But see, the hope we have is not the hope just for us. It's, the Bible says it's hope for the people all around us. And it's not only for here, it's for eternal. And here's why it's important. Here's the next point. Hope is not only eternal. Hope has the final word. There's a lot of you questioning our lives. Walk around with a big question mark on top of our head. We're questioning, even Melanie and I, and praying with our girls, and you know, do we send them to school? Do we do virtual? Do we, you know, skip it all together and do something different? Where do we send them? How do we do it? You know, at what level is wise? What level is fear? Do we, you know, there are people doing various things from nothing to radically changing their lives and moving to different states and all kinds of crazy stuff. Because they're trying to find some finality in this. Their lives are so upside down and we're trying to figure this out. And, you know, I really kind of believe everybody says, well, you know, we'll get back to the normal. I don't know that we are. There's going to be some new normal. Where we land and how that works, I don't know. But the thing that we take peace in, the reason we can hold on to hope, And as Melanie said last week, we can see through to the end. It's because the Bible says of Jesus, he has the final word. Not a pandemic, not sickness. For some of you right now, not a bad relationship. Some of you may be going through times in a bad breakup or a relationship or maybe a divorce, and all you see is that, and that's going to be the finality of my life is that my marriage failed, or that's going to be the finality of where I am is a bad relationship with my son or my daughter. That's not what the Bible says. The Bible says that hope has the final word, not hurt, not pain, not stress. And let me tell you, we're going to go, and you've heard preachers say this all the time, and I hate it, it's a cliche, but if you do go to the end of the book, in the book of Revelation, you'll find out real quick that we win, that God wins. He's already won. This is how it kind of comes to an end. So I don't go to the book of Revelation a lot, but I want to read this to you. Revelation chapter 21, verse 3. And it says, this is God speaking, says, look, God is home, and now he's among his people. This is in the end. We're hanging out with God. He will live with them, and they will be his people. God himself will be with them. It says he will wipe every tear from their eyes, and there will be no more sorrow, no more death, no more crying, no more pain. All of these things are gone when? Forever. Now look at this last verse in verse 5. And the one sitting on the throne, who would that be? Not a trick question. All together now. Yeah, God. See, y'all, hang with me. Come on now. It says, look, I'm making everything new. And then he said this to me. This is John the Revelator. He's writing down the book of Revelation. God began to tell it to him, and he just began to write it and describe the things he saw. And if you read the earlier book, the other earlier chapters, it's when it gets into all the picture and imagery of all the end times. But here we are at the end. He says, write this down. Which is funny because he's already told him to write it down because he's writing the book down, right? But he stops and says, now make sure you get this like I'm going to say it. So write this down. For what I tell you is trustworthy and true. Why? Because hope has the final word. There's a lot of us that, even now, it's aggravating. We're walking through some pretty tough times. People are losing family members. Life can be rough. But my hope and the thing I hang on to is this, is that hope on the other side. Let me tell you it to you this way. And I'm stealing this from another pastor that I watched, but I love the way he says it. He says, the final word is this: heaven's better. We look at life as, God, just fix it now. Make this earth heaven. Just make everybody love each other. Make all sickness go away. Make everybody get along. And that was kind of be a utopia. But as good as that is, from what the Bible says about heaven, it's better. It's better than what we have on this earth. See, in heaven, the Bible says that the Krispy Kreme light is always on. They never turn it off. That machine just keeps pumping them out. In heaven, it says that you can go to Donna's and she has an endless supply of those apple fritters, right? Heaven's better. And for those of you who struggle with maybe can't eat the sugar now, guess what? In heaven, you can eat all you want. The Krispy Kreme will keep cranking them out. I expected a better amen than that. You see, Melanie said last week that hope sees the end result. No one, and if anybody tells you, can tell you when Jesus is coming back. A lot of people think they're smart, but the Bible very clearly says no man knows the day or the hour. Now, the Bible says you can know seasons, and that's what I said earlier. Things that need to happen seasonally in our world have happened. And the things that maybe need to happen can happen quick. But you need to understand hope has the final word because hope, heaven is better. Heaven is just better. But I can tell you this. Hope not only has tickets on the first bus, but that hope brings you peace eternally. That hope goes beyond this world. Hope is eternal. And here's, this is going to seem like it clashes, but it doesn't. So hang with me. Hope's eternal. Hope has the final word. But hope is also for today. Hope lets us see this truth. And I'll give it to you in just a second. But I'm going to tell you, I've been holding on to this truth for 17 years. It'll be 18 years in October. I've been holding on to this truth really hard in the last several months. But look what the Bible says in Hebrews chapter 6. It says that we, and this is why it's important, hope is for today. What I call the nasty now and now. It says in Hebrews chapter 6 that we who have fled him can have refuge. In other words, he's going to protect us. He's going to keep us safe. And have great confidence as we hold to the hope that lies before us. We're talking about hope is eternal. Hope has the final word. We're talking really, in essence, talking about Jesus. The next verse says, this hope is strong and a trustworthy anchor for our souls. I think Melanie referenced this last week. This is one of my favorite scriptures in the Bible. That it anchors us. It holds me steady. It holds me steady to today, to now. But look what this next line says. It leads us. See, we not only hope for today, hope leads me through today. Because anybody ever had a day when you wake up in the morning that without this hope, you never thought you'd see the end? You never thought you'd see the end of the day? Like, Jesus, just take me now. This word says that God leads us through the curtain into the inner sanctuary was as close as you could get to God. And until Jesus paid the price, one man once a year who had to be perfectly clean could go in. And that was it. So the Bible says that hope's actually leading us in to as close as you can get to God. Look what this is, the prophet Jeremiah in the Old Testament. After he wrote the book of Jeremiah, he wrote this. Most people believe he wrote this book called Lamentations. It just means he simply was just lamenting over the bad times in his life. He was remembering those. But look what it says. Because even though I'm in the nasty now, even though it's a rough time, look what, this is Lamentations 3. It says, I will never forget an awful time as I grieve over the things I've lost. He's thinking about the mess of life. He's thinking back about the family, the friends, the job, the relationship, the things that's lost. Then he says this. He says, yet I still dare. When the world says you should not be thinking hopeful, that we should be fearful of the end. If you watch the news now on whatever channel you can pick, all the major news networks are all giving you something saying you should not do this, you should not have hope because we need to be afraid of this. Now we need to use wisdom, but we don't need to be afraid. And look what this says. It says, yeah, I still dare to hope when I remember this. And I love this verse too. The faithful love of the Lord does what? Never ends, and his mercies never cease. One version says his mercies are new every morning. See, hope tells me that in the end, we win, but tomorrow, it's going to be new. Anybody ever had? Come on now. Okay, you can talk back if you're online. Just yell at the TV. We'll hear you. Anybody, am I the only one that's ever had a day when I lay down at night and go, thank God it's over, and thank God that tomorrow it's new? I call it the boots on the ground moment. There are times when I have to get out of bed and I put my feet on the ground and I say, God, yesterday was terrible. I don't want to do that again. But today, your word says, when my feet hit the ground this morning, that your mercies are new, that grace is new, that the things I screwed up royally yesterday, you're not going to hold those against me. You're going to let me start fresh this morning. See, hope is not only eternal. Hope is not only for, has the final word. Hope is for today. It says each morning his mercies begin new. Verse 23, great is his faithfulness. His mercies begin afresh. That word always amuses me, and I giggle a little bit because I don't know why the is there. Begins fresh every morning. Begin new every morning. We're not having to pull from yesterday. You know, as Mel and I talked this week, after she spoke Sunday, and then we were talking about the message this week. We were talking about hope and how desperately people all around us. I think the Tinsleys are actually probably driving now. I told them if they'd watch. I talked to Adeline a lot. If you don't know Adeline, you need to find her. She's the cutest little kid. But even in talking to them, you could see in their ups and downs through the last 2 weeks that they were just looking for hope. They were desperate to wake up in the morning and the doctor say, she's good, she's fine, y'all go home. It was good one day, down the next. Good one day, down the next. Good 2 days, down one day. Over about a 2 week period. And they were looking desperate for hope, and they're not the only ones. Probably some of you in this room and watching online right now are desperate for God just to give you a glimpse. Just let me peek through and see that there's hope ahead of us. When everything around us tells us there's no hope. People from all walks of life. Think about this. In the last 6 months, just from the pandemic stuff, there's been rich people die. There's been poor people die. There's black people, white people. It doesn't discriminate. Everybody's looking for hope. Then you look and see, I don't know if you saw in the news this week, they had the explosion in Lebanon. I saw one report that says it was the equivalent of 1/10 of a Hiroshima bomb. 2,700 pounds of nitrate blew up. Just wiped the city out. People are looking for hope. Even people in this predominantly Arab nation, this Muslim nation, are like, what do we do now? Our food, matter of fact, if you don't know this, it destroyed a huge percentage of the country's food where it was stored. People are desperate for hope. And Melanie and I were talking about this, and we're all looking for hope. Hope that is not that this is not the end. And as we talked about this, if you know my wife, she's brilliant. She like perfect SATs, and she got a full ride scholarship to Oral Roberts where she got her degrees, and on and on and on. And then she made this statement, so much so that I wrote it down and I included it. But look at this. She said, the amazing thing of hope is that it's the same for everyone. Yes, my amazing wife. She's mine and not yours, and I'm bragging on her. But look at this. And she's in the nurse. I mean, she's doing kids' church today. She's not even over here, so y'all can brag on her. But look at this. The amazing thing of hope is that no matter where Andrew finds himself here, or Mel finds himself there, or Gary finds himself, or Ken finds himself, or Colby, or let me point out some obvious. And I do this, I know this can be sensitive, but I do it anyway because they're family to me. But it just proves a point. The same one that brings me hope as standing here as a lily white guy. But look, I mean, if you don't know, I'm white. But let me point this out. Let me point this out to Grandpa Ken back here. He's black. No. It's a surprise. I know it's shocking. I know. But here's my point. The same one that brings me hope looks just the same to Ken. We're looking at the same thing. When you poor, rich, lonely, hurting, there are people in this room, people online watching now that are hurting, lost. Don't know what to do. Don't know where to turn. And the reason I included this statement is because the amazing thing of God that he did in his son Jesus is that no matter what angle you're looking at Jesus from, hope looks the same. It doesn't change. Even in society, we argue about stuff. And if you really get down to an argument, most of the time, we have people and they're arguing over from two different sides of the same coin. One's arguing, no, it says tails, it's tails, it's tails. And the other one says, no, it's heads, it's heads, it's heads. And the people on the side don't even see the coin, right? And so now we have people, now we have a God that says, listen, I'm going to take care of all that. And the reason hope's eternal, the reason hope has the final word is because what I'm going to put down and give you and my son Jesus basically says, no matter what angle you look from, yep, there's hope, that's Jesus. Yep, there's hope, that's Jesus. Some of you are on your knees begging God for hope. Guess what? He looks the same. Some of you have been serving God and life is good for you. Things are happy. You're happy and you're standing and you talk to God all the time and you're looking at Jesus. Looks the same. He looks the same for all of us. And here's why. Because hope has a name. Hope is not some figment of your imagination. Hope is not some talk of a ghost or a God that never is not alive. The Bible says of Jesus that he's alive and well. Hope is a person. Hope is Hope is waiting to be just received. Hope doesn't even ask you to clean up. You realize that? Person in the worst of circumstances, they're far from God, life's falling apart. When they look up and they look at hope, hope does not say back to them, get your life right, and then you can have hope. Hope doesn't say, stop doing this, and then you can have hope. Hope doesn't say, stop or start doing this, and then you can have hope for your marriage, hope for your kids, hope for your finances, hope that this, and faith that this virus is gonna subside and go away and that life will continue. But hope has a name. And I'm going to read this verse to you. This is out of the book of Matthew. I'm going to read it out of the Message version. It's not even a version. The Message is a paraphrase. A guy wrote it so his family could read it and just put it in plain English. But I love the way he writes this. This is in Matthew 12:21. It says, and this is talking about Jesus. It says, you won't walk over anyone's feelings. You see, there's a lot of people in the view of hope and having hope that says, well, you know, God doesn't care what I feel. God doesn't care that I'm hurting. He wants me just to be right, do right. No, that's not true. The Bible says of Jesus, as a matter of fact, many times in the Bible, when he looked at people, the Bible says he looked at them first and was moved with compassion because of the situation they were in. He cares. And there's a lot of you either in this room or watching online that think that nobody cares, and you may think, and nobody else may know about it, but there is hope that cares. It says you won't push over anyone's feeling. God's not going to back you into a corner. God's not going to let you, like, there are people who teach and believe this, and it's just wrong, and it's biblically wrong, and I will fight it until we all go to be with Jesus. God doesn't make you sick. God didn't create this virus. Now, can he use it? The Bible says he can use everything to work out for his good, for those who love him. God didn't create it. God didn't make you sick, make your mom sick, make your family sick. The truth is we live in the nasty now, in a fallen world where the devil wants nothing but to take us out. But it says he won't push you into a corner. Now, here's the thing. He won't push you into a corner, but he'll let you walk and put yourself in the corner. Anybody ever done that with your kids? Like when they're little? You know, time out, go sit in the corner. And you have to force them. You push them into the corner. And then the kids begin, sometimes, hopefully, begin to learn, I messed up. And you look up and they go over and they go and sit themselves in the corner. He will allow you to walk yourself into the corner, but he's not going to push you there. Why? Because he's giving you full decision. Hope is waiting to be received. Hope's not being forced on you. That's not hope. That's tyranny. That's not what God's all about. But he says, but before you know it, justice will triumph. In other words, in the end, when Jesus comes, those who have not had the blood of Jesus over their life and received him as their Lord and Savior are going to have to answer and pay the bill that they're not going to be able to pay. The Bible's very clear. There's two ways to go. Heaven or hell. Your bill's either paid or it's not, and you can't pay it yourself, so you better figure out how to pay it. But it says mercy will triumph. And then it skips to this in verse 21. The mere sound of his name will signal what? Say this with me. Will signal? Oh, come on now. Will signal? Hope. That the sound of his name. I know some of you, and especially because I'm still young enough to pay attention to social media, and I know what moves people and what moves society. And there are a lot of people, not just Christians, but just in the world in general, that you can say a name. And this, if you are this way at a concert, I don't get it, but you do you. You know, you go to a concert, and they say, we're introducing whoever, and they say a name, and then people just start falling out. Oh! I remember watching some old video, and this was way back in the day, like back in the Elvis days when Elvis was young and thin, you know, everybody made the saying famous. Yeah, I know. I had to go dig way back for that. But remember the old saying, Elvis has left the building? They actually started that because they had to tell people, y'all chill, he's gone. Because just the mention of his name, Elvis is in the building, and a whole room full of people, all these girls just flop over and go, oh, right? Now, today, we do it. I pick at Heather over there, and I pick on Heather because she did our 5 for 5, but if I were to say right now, guys, I had some friends come into town, and I want to introduce you to my friends. Here are the Jonas Brothers. Heather would fall on the floor. Am I not right? You owe me. All right, I owe you for that one. But it's true. The Bible says of Jesus that it ought to be when we just mention his name, that look what this goes on to say. Even those who are far from God go, wait a minute, there's hope over there. We get locked into, and there's nothing wrong with the Jonas Brothers. I've just given her a hard time, and I do it because she's one of my faithful Instagrams. She always is reposting us and putting us out there, so I see her stuff, so that draws her some fire. But we get so moved, and we lose track, and that's not even hope. Hope's not in our earthly person. The Bible says that hope has a name, and that name, even among unbelievers, whether you believe it or not, and here is where we're going to end today, that we have hope that is bigger than our short time on this earth. Hope that is so big, it's eternal, and so sensitive, it's daily. You get that? Hope that's so massive, it goes through eternity from the beginning to the end. The Bible says that God says, I am the Alpha and the Omega. He's the A and the Z. I'm the beginning and the end. Yet he's so small and finite, he can reside and be involved in every minuscule part of your life. That he cares when you got up this morning, you wondered how you were going to make it through the week. He cares that you maybe didn't feel good. He rejoices with you on the good stuff. He cares with you and grieves with you on when you hurt. Hope has the final word. It's not over. And the more we go into the fall, I'm not trying to say this prophetically or anything of that nature. I'm just saying, I just see it. The closer we get to Jesus coming back, we're going to have to keep looking at hope and stop looking at other people. Other names may be fun and get us excited and we celebrate, but we need to understand that there's only one name that says that life, that people who don't know him will be drawn to hope, that it brings hope. I'll say what Melanie said last week. She said she talked about this. She said about holding tight to the rope. Some of you have let go of the rope, and you wondered why life's not moving forward anymore. You can't water ski unless you hold on to the rope. It doesn't work. You can pray it, you can confess it, but until you grab a hold of that rope, you're not coming up out of the water until you're attached to hope. In this case, the hope is the boat that's going to pull you forward. Some of you have let go of the rope. Some of you maybe don't even know where the rope is. You never heard about this Jesus or heard about hope. And today, you need to find that. Praise team, you guys can come back on up. You need the hope that sees past the nasty now, that sees into eternity. The hope that says in the morning that today is going to be better, not worse. So for just a minute, if you will, just close your eyes. We're actually going to get out of here a little bit early today. I encourage you for next week. We start our What's Next series. Come back. We do this series every year. It kind of is the basics of who we are as a church and what we believe and why we believe it. I do this series, something like it, every year. So don't miss next week. But if you would, just bow your head and close your eyes. And if you would say, Clint, I don't know where this rope is. I need to grab and hold tight to this rope that is connected to God and the hope for eternity. And I thank you. Thank you, God, for showing people now. Maybe their hearts are thumping, and maybe you're at home going, I need this. I need to grab a hold. He's not asking you to do anything. He's not asking you to change anything. Just receive him. He'll work on the other stuff later. Now it's just about you securing your eternity and the hope with Him forever. If that's you this morning in the room, just wave your hand at me. If you're online, shoot us a message. We want to pray with you. I'm just going to ask everybody in the room, just pray this with me. Pray this with me online. Say, Lord Jesus, today, right now, I grab a hold of hope. Lord Jesus, forgive me for my sin. I receive you now as my Lord and my Savior. In Jesus' name, amen. Now for the rest of you, I tell you what, just do this real quick, 30 seconds. Bow your heads, close your eyes real quick. I want to pray. Before we sing the final song, which I think is very appropriate for where we are and what we're talking about. Heads down, eyes closed. If you're one of those, I wasn't even intentionally specifically calling anybody out, but if this fits you, then raise your hand. Send us a message online because we want to pray with you. If this fits you, you just say, Clint, that's me. I need hope. My world is swirling around me right now. I don't know which way's up. I'm trying to follow God. I'm trying to listen. I'm trying to obey. But today I just need God to make hope fresh, make hope new. Let me see it again. If that's you this morning, just wave at me. No, I'm not going to call you out. I'm not going to wave you up here. That's what I thought. There's a bunch of hands going up. Anybody else? All right then. Well, if you're visiting today, let me be just your pastor for a minute. For those of you who raised your hand or online that you call this home, I'm gonna bless you. I'm gonna bless you as the father of the house. And I truly believe next week we'll come back with a smile on our face, seeing hope all the way through to the end. Amen. Father, in Jesus' name, for all of those who raised their hands, Father, today that you make hope brighter than ever. Lord Jesus, that you shine in a dark place. Lord Jesus, you stepped out onto the water with your disciples and commanded the ocean and the sea to be still, and it was. God, in Jesus' name, not by my power or anything within me, but by you, God, in their lives, I command the seas to calm, the waves to cease, the wind to die down, and there's nothing blowing but the gentle breeze of your Holy Spirit, of your comfort in their lives. Father, give them clear direction. Let them hear your voice like never before. Father God, that they look through here into eternity and hold on to the hope that anchors our soul. And I thank you for it now, Father, in Jesus' name. And everybody said,